When, as president-elect, Donald Trump went after the intelligence community over the reports of alleged Russian election hacking, you might say it surprised the establishment. But my next guest argues it may have sabotaged President Trump's ability to conduct foreign policy. Daniel Benjamin is former coordinator for counterterrorism at the State Department, now a scholar at Dartmouth College. He joins me now. Daniel, good to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you've written that this may permanently spoil the not only the relationship, but the ability to conduct foreign policy in an effective way. Let's go back to the relationship and describe how it ought to be, the relationship between a president and the intelligence community, and how has it been traditionally?
Different presidents have come in with different attitudes towards the intelligence community, but usually they, you know, find their way to a good relationship fairly early. The intelligence community is, in some sense, the first in. They create a bond with the new president early after the election with to begin doing their briefings. And, you know, they're the ones who really bring a new president up to speed on all those things that are going on around the world that he doesn't know about. So that obviously is quite a different scenario from what we're seeing right now.
Do you think, at least the CIA for sure, and other elements of the larger community maybe are, I think you said, gut punched by Mr. Trump? How do you think they feel now?
I think that that hasn't changed. It may have even worsened a bit. You know, the president-elect accused the intelligence community of politicizing intelligence, a fabrication. He implied that they were Nazis. And, you know, I don't think you can really say anything that is more damaging or more demoralizing to the intelligence community. And then he followed that up with what was supposed to be, a makeup visit out to Langley and, you know, gave a really bizarre performance that was much more about his achievements, real or imagined, and not at all about the very patriotic service and invaluable service that they give to the nation. So, you know, there are an awful lot of things that have gone awry here.
How might this affect, say, the daily briefings or the types of options that are presented to the president from here on out when there's something where there might be a situation in the world?
At any particular point, it's kind of hard to predict. I do think that there are a fair number of people, both in the field, collectors as we call them, otherwise known as spies, as well as analysts at home who are probably wondering, you know, what is going to become of their hard work in terms of preparing the president for any particular issue and whether dealing with someone who has so many preconceived ideas and who has disparaged the community so much, whether he's going to, in fact, make good use of it or not, and whether he's even, you know, reliable when it comes to handling such sensitive information. I do think that over, shall we say, the midterm, the next few months, an awful lot of people are going to be thinking hard about whether this is what they want to be doing right now, because these tend to be highly trained, highly capable people who could probably make a lot of money in the private sector, and if they don't feel that they're getting the rewards of really serving their nation in a way that they had expected to, then they may think about going elsewhere.
In a different scenario, suppose there is a good relationship between a president and intelligence, and I guess this is also true for the president and military leaders also. What if they, once in a while, they come up with a recommendation or a finding that turns out to be a dog because they're human and this is difficult work? How should a president react when maybe he takes an action based on that intelligence that doesn't work out? What should be the response?
So presidents disregard what the intelligence community tells them with some frequency and think that they have a better idea, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. If there is a mistake, if there is an intelligence failure of some kind, well, it all depends on the nature and sort of the size of the failure. If it's big enough, then, inevitably a president is going to have to say something, you know, remonstrate with the intelligence community in some way. But I think the best course of all is that the default position should be, yeah, accidents happen, mistakes are made. If big enough, you know, people have to be held responsible. But beating up the intelligence community in public is a bad idea because it diminishes public confidence in a community that literally supplies terabytes of data that are required to make foreign policy work every day of the week. And, you know, I think this was one of President Trump's big mistakes when he likened the call, the intelligence community's call on Russian hacking to the judgment that they made on Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. You know, we could have a long discussion about what went right or wrong in that case, but what is certainly true is that in the 14 intervening years, the community had done amazing work with remarkable regularity, including finding bin Laden, including doing the lion's share of the work to destroy Al-Qaeda. And those are things that he should have been thinking about as well, and how he can support the intelligence community in its mission, not beat up on it.
We're speaking with Daniel Benjamin, former coordinator for counterterrorism at the State Department, now a scholar at Dartmouth College. Given the situation as we have it now, we're only a couple of weeks into the new administration, what would your recommendations be to repair the damage?
Well, it's a good question, because I think it's a serious situation. I think that in the next few months, the focus really should be on the new director, Mike Pompeo, and he will need to establish a good rapport with his workforce at CIA, as Dan Coats, former Senator Daniel Coats, will as Director of National Intelligence. And I think that it's up to them to really reassure the workforce and to, in a sense, bring home demonstrations that their work is valued, that their work is making a difference in the formulation of foreign policy. And I certainly think that further comments from the White House on the intelligence community of the kind we've seen in the past, are not helpful, and I hope that they stop.
And also during the transition period, the president famously did not receive the briefings every day, saying, well, I'm hearing the same thing every day in the same words. Do you feel that just a simple, respectful listening each and every day can help?
Well, I think it's important for the president to be briefed, both as a substantive matter, because he needs to know what's going on in the world. There really are things going on that he doesn't know from just watching cable television. And so that's important. But I think it's also important for the community to see that he is being briefed. He doesn't have to sit respectfully. He can ask thoughtful questions and wait for the answers to come back. But he should be doing it, on a regular basis. No president's done it every single day of the week, every week of the month, every month of the year. But I think that this has to be part of his routine. And delegating it to the vice president is unprecedented and sends a really bad sign.
Daniel Benjamin is former coordinator for counterterrorism at the State Department, now a scholar at Dartmouth College. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll have a link to his article and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.